Hare Krishna. So we're going to hear from the story of Srila Prabhupada's life. Books? There's only one of these. Sorry about that. I'll try to read slowly, okay? This book talks about the story of Prabhupada's life, so... Oh, don't leave. Everybody's leaving. Don't leave. It's just as nectar. You got to hear this. This is the story of your countryman who came here and told us all these wonderful things. So I want you to hear about it, okay? You must be very proud of him. So in this particular, it's just about 15 minutes we'll read. And then after that, we can get to hear from him directly in the dais. There's a Prabhupada will be speaking from the video. So if you want to hear that, you're also very welcome. So this is June 3rd, 1972, and Prabhupada is in South America, Latin America. So he had arrived the day before, we read that last week, and he had been received very nicely. The floor whenever Prabhupada would go somewhere, all the decorations would take place, and up to the last minute they'd be painting. So on the previous day, Prabhupada had arrived. And he had paid his obeisances in front of the deities, but the paint was still wet, just slightly. So Prabhupada's feet marks and the marks of his body were put in the floor, the paint. This is June 3rd. The next morning, Saturday, in the first initiation ceremony in Latin America, Srila Prabhupada accepted 8 Mexican disciples. Oh, this is Mexico. He spoke about the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and then named the initiates after devotees from the pastimes in Chaitanya Lila. Do our guests know who Chaitanya is? You know? Chaitanya, on this altar you see there's Chaitanya and Nityananda. Krishna came 500 years ago as Chaitanya because although he spoke the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, people weren't really getting it. So he thought, maybe I should go there and show them how to do it. So he lived as a perfect devotee for us so we could learn. He had other reasons, but that was a main reason for coming. Srila Prabhupada explained how Lord Chaitanya had turned the non-devotees into devotees during his travels throughout India. Now, Prabhupada was himself extending the boundaries of that preaching mission into a new continent, making devotees for Lord Chaitanya wherever he went. Prabhupada had never before met the devotees he was about to initiate, but he was accepting them on recommendation from the temple president, who confirmed that they had all been chanting Shishwara Gopinath Ki Jai, who confirmed that they had all been chanting 16 rounds and following the 4 regulative principles for at least 6 months. Do our guests know what the 4 regulative principles are? Do you know? No, yes? Shall I say? So when Prabhupada would give initiation to his disciples, he would expect that they take basically 5 vows. There was the 4 regulative principles that they agreed to not eat meat, fish, or eggs. And that also included garlic and onions. No meat, fish, or garlic. No gambling. No illicit sex. In that time, it was quite revolutionary what Prabhupada was doing because it was like the so-called free love where everybody was getting pregnant and diseased because of free love. But Prabhupada, he said, if you want to become my disciple, you have to accept a vow. He said, become ladies and gentlemen, get married. And the final vow was no meat eating, no illicit sex. What's the last one? Huh? No intoxication, thank you. And then that time, that was like, you know, LSD and marijuana was the thing going. But Prabhupada was so spiritually powerful that he convinced his disciples to stop these things. And he even said, no coffee, no tea. So, let's see here. So now this is the history of when he first initiated devotees in Mexico. Of all the candidates, only one young man, a worker in the devotees' incense business, lived outside the temple. But he had also shaved his head and was eager to accept initiation. When he came before Srila Prabhupada to receive his beads, Prabhupada asked him, "Do you want a spiritual life or a material life?" The young man was surprised, since Srila Prabhupada hadn't asked anyone else. He thought for a moment, "I want a spiritual life." "That's all right," said Srila Prabhupada, and he gave him the beads. Then Srila Prabhupada turned to Hanuman Goswami and asked him to lecture. After a few minutes of speaking, Hanuman launched into a long, involved story without any relevance to Shastra. Srila Prabhupada sat tolerantly. After some minutes, however, he interrupted sternly, "Stop this nonsense story. Speak from the Bhagavatam." Hanuman Goswami doubled up as if punched in the stomach by Prabhupada's words, but then he sat upright and continued speaking in strict parampara. After the initiation, Prabhupada instructed Hanuman further, Why did you not speak of the ten offenses? This is not very good to speak some nonsense story. When we take initiation, better to give them the most important things, how to chant Hare Krishna and avoid the ten offenses. What is the use of these other things? Yeah, so you see we're chanting in our beads every day, so there's offenses like being inattentive or criticizing others, and especially persons who have given their life to God, not taking the orders of the spiritual master seriously. So these are different offenses that Prabhupada wanted the devotees to hear so that they could learn to chant properly. That evening, Chitsukananda, it's another devotee from Mexico, stood in Prabhupada's room about to leave. "Srila Prabhupada, I'm almost ashamed to tell you, I know you should rest, but I feel I should at least inform you that we have the opportunity to be on a national television program tonight." "Oh," Prabhupada replied, "how many people will watch?" "About 30 million. It's the most popular show." 30 million? Srila Prabhupada's eyes widened. We all know if you see Prabhupada's, this classic, how Prabhupada's eyes would become very big. "Then we must go. But Prabhupada, you won't be able to get off the program until maybe 1 or 2 in the morning." "Prabhupada, that's all right. We can sleep during the day." Srila Prabhupada was not at all reluctant, as he had seen that people were eager to hear him. Yes, in South America and in Mexico and in all Latin countries, they're very pious and very eager to hear from a holy man. The great response they had shown during his lecture indicated their enthusiasm to receive his message. Chitsukananda, "We went to the TV studio and waited there in the audience until after midnight." Oh my God. "The program goes until 1:30, so it was a good time. 12:30 is the peak of the show. The TV interviewer asked Prabhupada many things. When I translated all of what Srila Prabhupada was explaining, the whole audience became stunned. Prabhupada told them that the world could be happy if they would just love God and chant his names, Hare Krishna. It seemed so simple. Actually, everyone was stunned. Even the MC was just completely stunned by Srila Prabhupada's answers, by his great sense of intelligence, understanding, and devotion. The MC's questions were trivial, about why the devotees shaved their heads and wore tilak, why they dressed as they do, but Prabhupada's answers were brilliant. The devotees chanted with Srila Prabhupada during a kirtan, accompanying him with guitars, Mexican style. At the conclusion of the show, the interviewers asked, "Can you bless me?" Srila Prabhupada exclaimed, "All glories to Mexico City." There's very beautiful deities in Mexico too. They look very Mexican. Anyone who's seen those, I think Varagokulananda is the name, I'm not sure, but you'll notice that wherever Prabhupada installed deities, somehow the deities were willing to take the mood of the local. It was quite beautiful. The program ended. Chitsukananda turned to the television announcer. "Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity." The man made no reply. He was captivated by Srila Prabhupada. He was overwhelmed. Srila Prabhupada left the studio with the devotees, returning to the temple to take rest. You want to hear a little bit more? Or should we go? Okay, a little bit more. Sunday morning, Prabhupada took his walk a few blocks from the temple to Chapultepec park, a large, beautiful park dating back to the Aztec Empire. As he walked along, he left the beaten paths and entered into the forest full of huge, old eucalyptus trees. The devotees appreciated how, without asking anyone's direction, Prabhupada seemed to know exactly how to go where he wanted and how to extricate himself from the forest and return to the temple. At the temple, Prabhupada inspected all the rooms. He told the devotees it was a good building and they should keep it. He liked it. Aware that their standard of service and worship was humble, the devotees were amazed that Prabhupada seemed so pleased with what they had done. For over a year, they had been anxiously waiting for him to visit, and now he had come, and they were fully satisfied. Prabhupada had been in Mexico less than 24 hours, yet the devotees already had a wealth of incidents, things Srila Prabhupada had said and done in their country to remember. He found the Mexican people pious. Their humility, simplicity, and devotion was reminiscent of the people of India. Mexico is very much like India, he said. That same morning, Prabhupada held a second initiation ceremony. That afternoon at the Sunday festival, hundreds of people, as many as could fit, crowded into the hall and onto the second floor balcony to catch a glimpse of Srila Prabhupada and to hear from him, Radha Krishna Das. The first day I saw Srila Prabhupada was at the Sunday lecture. I had never seen the temple so crowded, and yet it was completely quiet. There were reporters, students, people interested in different kinds of yoga and transcendentalism. Srila Prabhupada mainly spoke about the principles of yoga. He specifically spoke on the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Somebody asked him why we discourage people from practicing the popular yoga that everyone practices. In answer, Prabhupada developed a description of all that Lord Krishna says in the sixth chapter about the qualities and requirements to practice yoga. He told how the yogi should practice celibacy, go to a sacred place, and practice the breathing exercises and all the austerities. Yoga was already very popular in Mexico. People had known about it for years. I was practicing yoga, and when I went to see Prabhupada, I came with a group of people who were also interested in yoga. I had seen many yogis, gurus, and Indian spiritual people. But when I saw Srila Prabhupada, it was a completely different experience. Suddenly, all the gurus had no place at all for me. Seeing Prabhupada was like seeing a personification of all the teachings of the Vedas, all the descriptions given in the Bhagavad Gita about a completely self-realized person. He was sitting and speaking with his eyes closed in such a serene way, without any tinge of material expression. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the next section is on page 884 at the bottom of the page. We're going to hear from Prabhupada. They'll be in the slideshow room. He'll be speaking there. So if you want to go, you're welcome to go.